All right, everyone. We are joined by your Busch Light Pole Award winner for tomorrow's race, Denny Hamlin. Denny, this is your 50th pole. You pass Bobby Isaac for the 10th all-time, and you're the most among active drivers. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels good. Certainly a little unexpected considering the adversity we had during practice and knowing that my car wasn't going to be quite optimized to where we expected it to be. So, yeah, over the last few weeks with the rainouts, I thought that, it was kind of taking away opportunities for us to get to the 50. I knew that the next one was that milestone. So, glad we were able to get it done and certainly, get that number one pit stall and just kind of see where things, go. We're obviously going to have to, come from the back tomorrow and, that's going to be a challenge in itself, certainly at this racetrack with the long green flag runs that you get. So we're going to have good restarts and we're going to have the race play out just right.
Perfect. We'll open it up to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. We'll start with Reed, go to Jeff, and then Matt.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. The next one's also a milestone. Way back when, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think that you would be in position to tie Ryan Newman for a number of poles?
No, I mean, it just took me probably more starts to do it. you had a little bit longer career there, so that certainly is an advantage. I think a longer career, I'm not really sure. But no, not really. I mean, he was the king of qualifying for such a long time. So I didn't know that he's kind of next up on the list and certainly would, be awesome to just keep it going. It at least lets me know I can get some one lap speed out of the car anyway.
We'll go to Jeff.
So does this mean that you didn't scrape anything bad off the bottom of your car when you had the flat? Because I know.
No, we did.
Oh, so I mean, would that could still affect things tomorrow?
Or? Yeah, we're going to have to fix it and go to the back.
Oh, okay. So that's bad.
Yeah, not good. Did you miss my monologue for 5 minutes talking about this?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yes, we, there's definitely significant enough damage where it'd be better for us to just go back and fix it because car is not optimized by any means.
All right, we'll go to Matt and then Tim.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. I guess it's kind of a similar question, but after you got out of the car, I think you like looked under yours and then looked at the 54 and you kind of gestured like, what was that thought process when you were going through that?
Yeah, I was just trying to see how much we drug off. I'm trying to eyeball it. They got much better instruments to be able to tell, but I could visually see that mine had drug in spots that, everyone kind of drags when you go in practice, you drag a little bit, but then I saw that mine was significant compared to cars that hadn't had a flat, and so I knew that was not good. So I basically shrugged my shoulders and say, "There's nothing we can do about it. It's screwed."
And then second week in a row where basically then you're coming from the back and having to take the long way around back towards the front. Is this place with this car? Do you feel okay about your chances of being able to work your way through the field?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, if the cautions can fall at the right times, yes. As long as I get decent restarts, yes. But again, we're gonna have to get lucky in a few spots, I think. The race is long and you can certainly do it. It's not, unachievable. But sometimes when you're in the back, it gives you an opportunity to do, if there's an early caution, do a different strategy to get up there later on. So, if anything, that I was just trying to get a decent pit stall for tomorrow and, was very surprised when it was good enough, especially as much, lifting as I felt like I had during that qualifying session. So, it ain't going to be easy. That, I know if you look at last week, that all seemed easy, but things really fell our way, and they're going to have to again this weekend.
We'll go to Tim and then Dustin.
Denny, Tim Kettlefam of Motor Racing Network. I want to change topics here for a minute and look ahead to Pocono next week. Side of your very first win in the Cup Series when you were there as a rookie. Can you take me back to that day? What do you remember about that race?
I mean, there was, most of my memories come from rewatching the highlights. You know, there's moments I do remember coming through the field. I remember the shock of when I went into the tunnel turn and spun out and blew that left rear. You know, back then, you know, I'm kind of ignorant to know, well, what does that do to the car? I just kept driving it to its same capability. And, you know, truthfully, back then, when you had that kind of damage, it was actually a decent thing for performance. And so it allowed me to really just be fast. And I just remember, you know, the biggest thing I remember is coming back through the fat pack so quickly that everyone would just pull over when I got near them. Thinking about how different the racing is today, it certainly would have been impossible today. But, you know, it was such a great day, and certainly felt like, you know, it was a big confidence boost. And then, you know, we went back there. Back then, we went back to that track like 5-6 weeks later or something like that, and were able to dominate. So just gave me a ton of confidence every time I go into Pocono just because of that moment.
We'll go to Dustin and then Chris.
Dustin Long, USA Sports. Denny, how do you have to be patient tomorrow, or do you have to be even more aggressive tomorrow than normal?
Depends on the situation, and also depends on how the race is playing out. I certainly.
How do you have to go into it? Because there's no guarantee you're going to have those breaks like you had last week. Yeah. So
I think I go into it being patient, because I don't know what future cautions might fall that might help us. And then I didn't need to be aggressive and put myself in bad spots to start. So I'll definitely start on the patient side. And then depending on how the race falls, where I'm at a certain time, then I might ramp up the aggression from there on. But I think patience is the right way to start this thing.
And with the point situation, a large gap to first, but you've got a large cushion to third. What does that allow you to do, or does that give you more time to be patient potentially tomorrow, or that doesn't even matter with what your task is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it matters, because, you know, it certainly is going to make it hard for us to get any first stage points, and, you know, the guys that are first and third are inside the top 10. So I think that you know, we'll probably lose some there, but, you know, if you can somehow figure out a way to win the race, that you get that jump back. So I'm playing to win the race. You know, I certainly don't think that we're gonna play this thing to try to go get stage points, or, you know, we feel good enough that if we get our car optimized, you know, get the back of the car fixed back where it was, we'll be good enough to win the race on merit. And, you know, if we lose out on stage points, then it's just we got unlucky, and we cause the tire to go flat. So that's on us.
Chris
Knight, GuyJones.com. Denny, what were you surprised that you won the pole with the damage to the diffuser, and what has made you so good in qualifying over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I truthfully was very surprised. I mean, I had a little mini lift in turn 3 and 4 coming to the green. I know that, I mean, that affects everything from start finish line all the way to turn 2 and 3. So I try to run up the racetrack, try to get a little more momentum, but I felt right from the beginning that our car did not have quite the grip that it had in practice. But it's, you know, the conditions were as good as good for me that it possibly was for anyone else. You know, I had the coolest racetrack, and I was surprised to see the time on the dash when I crossed the line. So I thought, you know, I was shooting. I thought that was probably like a P8 to P10 executed lap on my part. But, you know, the car had a decent enough speed chunk in it.
What made you a better qualifier over the years?
Just, you know, looking at so much information, you know, figuring out, you know, when we qualified, you know, when Chase got the pole last year, I think we were second or third, just looking at the little things that he did a little bit better than I did in qualifying. So just always looking at that stuff to try to gain a hundredth here and there, and that's usually the difference.
Well, now go to Lee.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Once again, in your post-qualifying interview, you talked about restarts. And is this something that's eating at you? I mean, I know you study. I mean, you're a nut when it comes to studying and being as prepared as you possibly can be. But do you feel that that's like the sole weakness right now in your program?
The obvious answer is yes. That's where I feel generally where there's the most to be gained. It's where I think that we're the most vulnerable. So if I can get that in a better spot by the time we get to the playoffs or chase, then I'm certainly going to feel better about things, because the racetracks, the way they play out in the last 10, I mean, it's, these things can come out to shootouts, and you can't spit up five spots on a late race restart and give up those points. So especially when the 45 and, Ryan and those guys, that's what their strengths are. So I can't afford to, have that be such a weakness.
And 10 of your 62 wins have come on at this track in Pocono. Do you feel like you really have to knock it out of the park the next 2 weeks? Because on the other side of that, road courses really have not been your strong suit. I think you got one win at Watkins Glen. That's probably Tyler Reddick, he shines. And so you kind of feel like you really have to get a jump on it now?
Yeah, I mean, this is the tracks that we need to win races and make hay at. We're going to go into San Diego and Sonoma, and it's like, give me 15th, I won't run the race. Just reward that now, I won't go. So I think that, that's just the reality. I'm just far too old to spend a lot of time working on that to get better at this point in my career. It's better if I just focus my resources on winning at the tracks that I am strong at, and hope, just understand that those 4 to 5 races, we're just going to be average. But if we can make it up by winning tracks like this on a regular occasion, it's still a good path to a championship.
We'll go to Matt.
Yeah, I had a San Diego question for you. I guess NASCAR.
Are you going to give me 15 so I don't have to go?
What's that? Say it again.
You said you had a San Diego question. I said, are you going to give me 15 so I don't have to go?
Right. NASCAR apparently met with some of you guys, or Drivers Council, I don't know what format that was, but to talk about corner workers or processes and procedures. What can you tell us about that? And do you feel like they're in a pretty well-prepared spot to handle that race?
I might have missed that meeting, truthfully. It might have been with the board of the Drivers Council. I haven't. I might have missed it.
Yeah, what I heard was is that they decided to add way more corner workers than even originally anticipated.
Yeah, which is good, because, I mean, this track is massive in size, right? And it's got so many different corners and twists, and certainly you're going to think that this thing's going to have walls on both sides, so things can get hidden pretty easily. Corners can get disguised, and you end up missing a car sitting there. So it's good that they're putting more resources to that, because we certainly need it on the road courses.
We'll take one final question from Jeff.
Do you want to guess how many people are in the 50-50 club now that you're in it?
6.
You're number 7. So you've got Petty, Pearson, Gordon, Yarborough, Waltrip, Allison, and you. Any reaction to that?
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, those are legends, and then there's me.
All right. Well, thank you, Denny. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks.
And as of tomorrow, you will only have 3 more career starts than me. 3 more.
Mm-hmm. That worked out.
Thank you.